How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com, iTunes. Actually, we are on iTunes, in fact. We put these shows on iTunes every week, but iHeartRadio is what I was talking about originally, as well as TuneIn Radio, the American Forces Network, the cable radio network. Long story short, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And we got a lot of news to talk about here today. What a week it has been. So many stories. We've got Raw on Monday night, which did another terrible rating. WWE is attempting to solve the problem of terrible announcing by mixing up the announcing teams. The exact same people will now be horrible announcing in different configurations on Raw and SmackDown, with SmackDown moving to Thursday night, so we can talk about that, as well as the drug test failure of Jon Jones. Several weeks ago, Jon Jones failed an out-of-competition drug test for cocaine, and nobody knew about it until after the fight last week with Daniel Cormier. And by nobody, I'm talking you and I, and even Jon Jones allegedly did not know about this failure, but UFC knew about it, the State Athletic Commission knew about it, and the guy still fought. Is this a scandal, as a lot of people are stating it is? We can talk about that on the program here today. Also, it was the debut of TNA on Destination America, their new home, Destination America, on Wednesday night. The show now moving to Fridays. The first rating is in somewhere in the neighborhood of 300,000 viewers, if you want to average the original and the replay. Much, much lower than they were doing on Spike TV. All of these programs and topics we're going to talk about today. So stand by, everybody. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. That's right, we are live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Saturday and Sunday, Wrestling Observer Weekends, here on Sports Byline USA. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today, and yes, the phone lines are already open. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. We're going to be taking your phone calls on a variety of topics here today. So many things to talk about. Give us a call here today. Also, by the way, follow us on Twitter at Brian Alvarez and at Semper Vivi. We're going to go to the phones here in just a moment. But first off, Mike, how are you doing today?
A lot better than anybody associated with the UFC's PR team.
Can you give us a 30-second to 60-second capsule version of your thoughts on the disaster that is this drug testing with Jon Jones and his cocaine failure?
It's funny. Because for those who didn't hear the story, Jon Jones tested positive for cocaine metabolites on December 4th. He fought Daniel Cormier on January 4th. And, you know, it's one of those things where I don't know if there's a great answer to any of this stuff. I really don't. I know there are people that are upset that we're jumping, or people have jumped on Jon Jones and jumped on the UFC. But how could you let somebody who had tested positive for cocaine a month before the fight go on and fight? But in a way, it was completely out of their hands because of the Nevada State Athletic Commission and the VADA testing rules that are in place. And I think one of the things it did, it reminded me of the stories of Mike Tyson needed to get off antidepressants before he fought in certain places. And it's like, so let me get this straight. A mentally ill person needs to be pulled off their medication to go ahead and go out and fight. It's like something is kind of wrong with that. I mean, people would make a lot of fun of Mike Tyson freaking out and things like that, but it's like, it gave me a moment of pause. And this situation gave me a little bit of a pause because, you know, what's the worst case scenario that could have happened with this? And I know it sounds dramatic, and I don't mean it to sound this way, but let's just say Jon Jones had a seizure or a heart attack. Forget about, and this is going to sound very selfish, but let me just bring this angle up of what does this mean for the sport? Obviously, we know what it can mean for Jon Jones and his family and his friends. What could it mean for the sport and everything that goes around the sport? And it's, I don't think the UFC did a good job at all with any of this stuff in that they knew about this test. They made a lot of hype, and there was ballyhoo around the fact that they were going to do out-of-competition testing. They were earmarking money to do out-of-competition testing. And after they find out about Jones, which is not just about cocaine. This is also about his testosterone ratio, too, which we have found out that came out, too. And after you find out about that stuff, and you know, because it is the fight game, and Dana White's been around enough boxers, and they can be some self-destructive guys. You know, young athletes can you know, they don't care, and they tend to do stupid things sometimes. Even after finding out and knowing about this, they still decided to announce that we're not going to go ahead and do it. Why? And again, you can't babysit everybody, and it's tough, you know, because I there's libertarians out there going, why are we doing any drug testing at all? If they want to self, you know, implode, let them implode. But there needs to be some sort of balance, and there just needs to be a better system. The Nevada State Athletic Commission couldn't do anything to John Jones because even though he was in training camp for a fight he was having less than a month away, he wasn't quote unquote in competition, because in competition only means 12 hours before a fight. There's something wrong there. There's just, and I don't know exactly what the right answers are or what every single answer is, but it does kind of shine a light on there are problems here. There are issues here. And God forbid, I know it sounds dramatic, but as somebody that lived through the 80s, who, you know, Stanley Wilson of the Cincinnati Bengals, the day before the Super Bowl, was getting coked up in his shower and he couldn't play in the game. Len Bias overdosed. We just had Roy Tarpley die at 50, and he was a great poster boy for ravaging his body with cocaine and alcohol. Something needs to be adjusted. Something needs to be said. Something needs to be changed. Just something should probably happen, because...
Well, let me jump in here. So you're right. Something needs to be done. And that's the key to the whole thing right here. This is over and done with. What happened, happened. And for those of you that are unaware, John Jones took a drug test and he failed for cocaine. And this occurred on or around December 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere around there. And his fight was not scheduled until the end of the month. Now, by the letter of the law, because he failed out of competition for cocaine, and because the State Athletic Commission is going by a set of rules, the WADA rules, I believe, this was not considered a in-competition drug test failure. Cocaine is not banned out of competition. And thus, as a result, he was allowed to fight. And I believe that at the next commission meeting... And I am a hopeful man. I'm a positive man. I'm hoping that at the next commission meeting, they rule that, you know what, if you fail for cocaine out of competition, it is an illegal drug and you will be suspended. Now, I don't know if they're going to do that, but they may. Point of all of this is, if this occurs, it will be a new rule. It will be a rule change. And by the letter of the law, as the current rules are designed, everything that occurred is exactly what should have occurred. There's nothing that the State Athletic Commission could do about it. There really, I don't want to say there's nothing UFC could have done about it, because UFC does have morality clauses in their contract. And I do believe that if they wanted to, they could have flagged him for a cocaine test out of failure, took cocaine failure out of competition, and pulled him from the fight. But hey, it's a big money fight, and we all know that it's unlikely that that would have happened. So, at the end of the day, this whole situation is just, it's a big mess. It is a big mess. And one thing that Mike was talking about regarding this failure that we have to clear up with everybody is, although it seems terrible, and it is terrible, that John Jones was using cocaine during a training camp, I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything. I don't know anything, but I do know the chances that John Jones was the only guy in the entire organization, and I'm not even talking UFC. I'm talking WWE, Bellator, UFC, TNA. I don't care what organization, and this is even outside of wrestling. You can go to
the NFL.
Go to the NFL, any sports league. Cocaine is in and out of your system very, very quickly. A matter of days.
72-hour rule.
72, well, that's the idea, but who knows?
It could be up to, 5 to 20 days. But again, marijuana lasts in your system longer.
Sure. So because of that, if anybody out there listening to this right now believes that John Jones is the only guy that has been doing this, and that he, I don't know how many times that he did this. I mean, I know that, what's his name? The cowboy, Donald Cerrone, several years ago had accused John Jones of doing a lot of coke. He claimed that he knew something. I don't know how often or anything, but because it's in and out of the system so quickly, this happens way more than people think. The only reason that you and I, everybody listening to this right now, is aware that John Jones failed this test, the only reason we know is because somebody made a public records request from the State Athletic Commission. They requested the results of John Jones' drug test because it wasn't an in-competition drug test failure, and so it never would have come out. We never would have known about it had somebody, and I don't even know who it was, had somebody not made that request. We never would have known about it, which means that there could have been 100 guys that failed for cocaine out of competition, and we just don't know about it because nobody made public records requests, because the information only comes out if somebody fails for one of the drugs that is banned out of competition. So, long story short, this may have happened significantly more times than people are aware. It may have happened to many people in UFC that were tested out of competition. I'm sure that people in every single organization, because they often know when drug testing occurs, are taking coke because of the brief time that is in and out of your system. So that is the capsule version of the story. We can talk about this more when we come back, and we'll take your phone calls as well. 855-478-4478. What is on your mind? Let us know on Wrestling Observer Live. Back in just a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I promise we're going to the phones in just a moment. 855-478-4478. I don't want to bore anybody with this John Jones stuff, but I do have to say one last thing here. Ashley Evans Smith, who fought on UFC 181, she lost to Raquel Pennington, and she has since failed a drug test for diuretics. And her camp is claiming that she didn't take a diuretic. She takes a lot of different supplements. She takes protein and flour-based supplements, plant-based as well, and she ended up failing, and they're upset about this. And one of her, I'm not sure who this is, it may be her manager, but anyway, this person said, and this is a quote, "It is not performance-enhancing or anything," he said of this failed drug test for diuretics. Says, "I don't understand why they're talking about her doing diuretics, but John Jones did cocaine, and nothing is happening to him. Cocaine is okay because it's out of competition. He was in training camp." I just want to say very quickly, yes, that's right. That is correct. Everybody complaining about this cocaine versus PEDs, cocaine versus marijuana with Nick Diaz, everybody complaining about this, yes, you're right. Those are the rules, so quit complaining about it. Hopefully, as noted, at the next commission meeting, they make some sort of change in the rules about what cocaine is considered out of competition.
Well, but I don't know if they should stop complaining about it. They should have, a little bit of a wider view of it. But let me ask you this question.
You can complain that those are the rules, but you know what? They're the rules. So let's move on.
Plain enough, you need to change them a little bit. But here's my question for you. Because you said you want to be positive about things, and you have never been a recreational drug user of any kind. John Jones, do you think he needed to go to rehab? Do you think it was the right decision for him to announce he was going to rehab?
Well, for PR reasons, obviously.
Okay, because I was just, if he needed to go to rehab,
he would have gone in early December.
Why, and again, the UFC, their hands were tied. A lot of people don't realize this. If they tried to stop the fight, John Jones and his side would have sued. But they would have won. So Jones would have went on. They would have had the fight anyway. But if they were really that worried about it, where the guy had to go to rehab, and, you know, the UFC has screwed up all of this PR stuff. Again, what I mentioned earlier on about not doing the testing and everything that came out about this, they were shadowy and shady about it. And all sports organizations are. They really are. A lot of people don't realize the NFL testing is only through a certain amount of time during the year. You know, you're not tested all year round. They're not showing up at your house in February, you know, testing you. That's not how it works. So there's shadiness in all of this stuff, but it does not make it right. It doesn't make it right.
And again, there's
a lot of people who are attacking John Jones because they don't like John Jones, so they want to throw shade on him that way. There's bigger issues here at play than just, you know, pointing at John Jones and yelling. And I do understand what you're saying, but there's a little bit of, you know, you have to kind of, you know, stamp your feet and wave your hands a little bit, because it's a situation that needs to probably change dramatically.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At the next commission meeting, I am hopeful that they go in there and they make a ruling about this out of competition cocaine ruling that they have on the books. But you know what? That's the rule on the books, and that's the way it's going to be. And I should add, by the way, that in all of this, I actually disagree with you. I realize that, yes, John Jones could have filed a lawsuit if they would have pulled him from the fight. But, as noted, there is a morality clause in the UFC contracts that discusses illegal narcotics abuse. And they could have cited that in pulling him from the fight. And it would have been, I don't know who would have won the legal battle. I have no idea. But I don't think you can just flat out say that Jones' side would have won because he had a bout agreement. No, he's got a morality clause. And clearly, using cocaine during your training camp and failing a drug test for it, that is, whatever the term would be.
This makes you question the morals of the people with the morality clause, you know, and the code of conduct that they have written there. You know, Matt Mitrione makes nasty comments about Fallon Fox, and that's okay. But something like this, again, that could be such a black eye to your sport, especially when, John, you're not even legal in New York still. You know, and, you know, people kind of forget about that since they're so successful everywhere else, and they seem to be everywhere else. But it's just everything, again, there's a lot of health issues at play here that people could talk about. Again, when you throw in the testosterone deal, you know, those levels, and I don't know anything about that stuff, so I'm going to stay away from it. But again, this is more of a public relation and a lot of moral questions.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan's been waiting for a half hour to cause some trouble here on this program. What's up, Ryan?
I want to tell you about a very important pay-per-view. It's happening tonight. It's that feature a wrestler from Ring of Honor taking on a wrestler from Impact Wrestling.
Oh, really? What is this show?
It's Vicious Outcast Wrestling. You can find it on Facebook. And the match is going to be Davey Richards from Impact Wrestling against Chris LaRusso from the Decade of Ring of Honor.
Chris LaRusso?
He just debuted recently for Ring of Honor.
I see. A new debut. How about that? And where can you find this?
It's on Stage It for $5.
$5? Are you going to watch this show?
I'm planning to go to the arena. It's in Connellsville, Pennsylvania at the Ice Mine.
Oh, you're going to go there live. Who do you got money on in this fight?
I like Davey Richards because usually they let the bigger star win, don't usually put it over the homegrown talent at these shows.
Really?
Hey, Davey Richards does what he wants to do. Nobody lets him do anything.
That's right. Davey Richards isn't losing to Daniel LaRusso.
The bigger question for me is, does he show up with the wolf scrapes across his chest like he did on Destination America?
Hope so. Any other news, Ryan? Are you working on the task that I gave you on After Dark Radio last night?
I've already done the homework assignment. If I posted it on the After Dark page, but if someone doesn't murder me before then, I'll give a live report on After Dark Radio.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. After Dark Radio is live every Friday night. You can find information at WrestlingObserver.com. Speaking of TNA, I have been going over all of the spoilers for upcoming TNA shows. They, of course, have moved to Destination America. And I think on the Lance Storm show, I predicted 350,000 viewers. And if you add in the first run and the replay, it came out to about 353,000, I believe. So I hit it right on the nose. significantly lower than even the lowest rating that they were doing on Spike TV, which should come as no surprise to anybody. Mike, have you seen this program, the new TNA on Destination America?
I have indeed.
Very disappointed I was in this show. I don't know why. I don't know why I am always so hopeful about TNA. But I thought when they debuted on Destination America, it would be a brand new program. We'd have a new face to the program, maybe a new name, maybe a new booking style, maybe, I don't know what, but I thought it would be new. And I watched it, and it was the same old show, start to finish. And looking at the spoilers, it's the same old TNA, start to finish.
Yeah, I don't know how long it's been. What, about 6 weeks since they've been on the air? It was probably another six before that that I had actually watched an Impact show. And I knew because of the fact that they were there's so much money that that Spike production wise and things like that. They just I wasn't sure how much they were going to be able to do, but I thought at least, OK, if aesthetically it can't be different because it is going to have to be more towards a Ring of Honor style of not spending the money and more of a lo-fi style. At least the booking would change a little bit. And I thought even though. Aesthetically, it didn't come off very well. The brawl at the beginning, it's like, okay, at least this is something, you know, it's mass hysteria. It's chaos. It's cats and dogs together. And, you know, this is going to be the start of something. By the end of the show, it was the start of really nothing. It was just going back to a retread with some of the same ideas that they had. There were just things all over the place. Kurt Angle, why, if Kurt Angle was going to be on there, why did you not hype up the fact? And yeah, sure, it wouldn't have mattered because it's Destination America, but at least try to get out there and say he's got this big announcement coming. Is he going to retire? Stay tuned. Let's see what happens. Instead, he goes out there and just says, I'm back, and has a pretty good thing with MVP going on. But again, that's something that Impact would do. Robbie E comes out and they talk about him breaking up with Brooke Tessmacher. We talked about it on this show. They were on Survivor together on CBS, and they didn't bother to mention it then. And now they go ahead and mention it after the fact. It didn't make any sense. At the end, the overly convoluted, you know, main event of everybody running in and a new unit is formed and Bobby Lashley is sitting there confused. A very TNA, you know, thing to do. So I think that's what disappointed me the most. I'm willing to give them a pass a little bit on production because, again, I don't think people realize that they, you know, they this company is lo-fi right now. And but, you know, everything came across, it just didn't do it very well. And there were issues with the sensors, with the lighting, with the amount of people that even cared to show up. It's just tough and it's really too bad because, again, you know, I don't know how long this season is, but I can definitely see if crowd chants keep up and things like that, this not being something Destination America cares about, and they'll just reach out to WGN America and put on Wrestling with Death.
To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Oh, hold on, caller. I hate to do this, but we're going to head to a break. We'll pick you up the moment we come back. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Wrestling Observer Weekends here every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, every Sunday afternoon, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We also replay at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern on Saturdays, as well as Monday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern. So check us out. Sports Byline USA, as well as streaming through WrestlingObserver.com. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Miss Trina Michaels. I'm calling from Orlando, Florida.
Dear God, Trina Michaels has been waiting on hold for God knows how long, and we kept her through the commercial break.
Hold.
What's happening?
Not much. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Well, I just wanted to call in and give you guys the first official announcement on my Win a Date with Trina contest for Mania weekend.
I'd heard about this. First off, how many entries have you gotten from an Edward Laredo?
Oh, about 500.
Not shocking. Tell us about this contest.
It is going to be Mania weekend, obviously, San Jose, California, my hometown. Guys and girls are both eligible. You know, preferably, I'm hoping a few girls win this. Must be 18 and older. I'm going to host a raffle-style contest starting in February. 3 dates with me. Date 1 will be Friday, March 27th, probably a lunch somewhere. Second date will be Saturday, March 28th. The winner will be attending a WWN show with me. You get to sit next to me the whole show. And date 3 is going to be Sunday, March 29th, dinner with me after WrestleMania.
Now, how does a person go about, and for those that may be unaware, this is Trina Michaels of Pro Wrestling and Adult Film Fame. She is running this contest. You can win a date with her. And how does somebody enter this contest? Is there a fee?
Yes, I will be selling raffle tickets probably through PayPal. Haven't really figured out quite all the details, but I'll have the raffle ticket numbers. You'll be able to purchase, you know, for example, 10 for $5 or something like that. And then I'll draw random numbers and have 3 lucky winners.
My buddy Ed is going to put thousands and thousands of dollars into raffle tickets here. Can you help a poor guy out? He works for UPS. Will you take entries? Will you take
this so I can win?
That's right. Will you take entries versus UPS or via UPS?
Possibly.
Okay.
I know you say guys and girls too. Now, what if there is a couple, say, that may want to have a date with you? Is that something that could go, or is it only one person?
Sure. If your number is drawn and you want to bring your significant other, I am all for that.
How about that?
But I do need to make something very abundantly clear, because I have heard speculation on this. It's not going to be that kind of date. So get that out of your mind right now.
Who in the world would think that?
Front row Brian.
Except Ed. Well, I hope he's listening right now, and here's the rules. This is a date, Ed. We're talking dinner and a movie and maybe a kiss on the forehead, but that's it.
Forget about dinner and the movie. Yes, I want to go to the WWN show.
I'm a proper lady. I don't do those sort of things.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, Trina, before we let you go, let's get some social media information out there. How can people contact you?
You can contact me via Twitter, at Trina Michaels. I also have my wrestling page, which is at Trina Mania. And I promise I will post something about this on Facebook. I know I suck at Facebook, but... and that's just, you know, Trina Michaels. So,
all right. Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call, and best of luck with the raffle. And I'm sure Ed is listening, and you'll be getting thousands of dollars in raffle ticket money from him. It's just a date, everybody.
Granny is good at Facebook. Maybe she can post it up there.
Granny's better at Facebook than I am, to be honest. If you would like to give us a call, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Toll free. In the U.S. and Canada, you can give us a call. And in reference, by the way, to Destination America, apparently there's controversy, as the people at Destination America are very upset about the numbers that are floating around for the debut, this 358,000 that we have been reporting here on the website. They're claiming that's demographic information. I find that hard to believe. That would be demographic information, because that would indicate a number perhaps significantly higher, which, based on the availability of Destination America, I don't know if that is even possible, but they claim...
Yeah, I don't believe so either.
They claim they'll have a real number coming up later in the week, so we shall see.
It has got to be 3 times the amount than anything else on that network does anyway, so they should actually probably be trumpeting it, especially because this is not in every single home, and even if it was in every single home, it's not like it's something that's on your basic cable. It's not like getting the Discovery Channel or getting one of the other Discovery networks that just happens to be on your, you know, your 1 to or 2 to 99 tier. This is a channel that is not only on, you know, in the hundreds, in some cases in the 500s. You had to go up, what, 3 or 4 different tiers volunteers to try to get this thing. So I don't know if they're, you know, doing any wagon circling for any reason or anything like that. I would, to be honest, I really thought that was a lot higher than what I thought they were going to do. And I'm not saying they should be doing backflips over the number, but I would figure if I'm Destination America, I'd be pretty happy because that's more eyeballs than I've had on that network in God knows how long.
855-478-4478 is the phone number. Mike, did you hear the email that I got from the folks at Destination America regarding this program?
Yes, I did indeed.
Well, let me read this to the listeners here, for those of you that are not subscribers to the website. And by the way, if you're not a subscriber, you're missing out. Daily radio shows up at WrestlingObserver.com. We do shows every single day. My goal is always to do a show in the morning and a show in the evening, so you have something for both commutes to and from work. And not only do you get two brand new shows every single day as a subscriber, but our entire library of shows dating back to 2005 is available in the archives right now. 6,000 to 7,000 hours of audio is available to you immediately upon signing up at WrestlingObserver.com. If you sign up long-term, it is as low as $9.99 a month. You not only get the radio shows, you get the Wrestling Observer newsletter every week, 35,000 words a week of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news and analysis. You get Figure Four Weekly, which is available on the Kindle store at Amazon.com as well. As a subscriber, you get the text and a full-color PDF of the newsletter. All of this available at WrestlingObserver.com. We've had so many callers that have alerted us that they did, in fact, sign up, and they love it. So head up to WrestlingObserver.com and check it out. Anyway, on one of the shows earlier this week, I read this email. Essentially, I don't have Destination America. And when I called, I was told that it would be a $22 per month upgrade to get the Destination America channel to watch Impact. And I was very upset about this because for $22, I could get the WWE Network and NJPWWorld.com.
And still have money left over.
That's right. So I emailed Destination America and I asked them, is TNA Impact going to air on Hulu Plus after it airs on Destination America? Will I be able to go up to Hulu and watch the show in the days following the live broadcast? This is what they responded to me, Mike. Thank you for contacting Destination America. We appreciate your interest in our programming. Our databases contain a lot of information, such as air dates and information on videos that are available for sale. But unfortunately, it does not carry the information you are requesting. We don't have a research staff to help gather facts for specific projects and suggest using your local library or the internet. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. I have been sent to the library, the Bothell Public Library, by Destination America.
To what, look at TV guides under microfiche? I mean, what's...
I don't know. I swear I am going to the library, and I am going to ask them this information. I'm going to even bring this email and point it out to them. And I'm going to find out if my library, in fact, has any information about this Hulu Destination America controversy. And I'll be playing that on one of the shows, hopefully later on this week. Let's take this call. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello, you are on the air. I hear your phone line going once, going twice, and he's out of here. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. Make sure if you give us a call, you unmute your phone, or whatever the problem that individual there was having. But we are taking calls for the next 10 minutes, so let us know what is on your mind. Do you have Destination America on your cable package, Mike?
Yeah, it's actually not, it's an expanded tier, but it's not to the level I've heard a lot of other people's are. Comcast, where I am, has got Discovery, TLC, Animal Planet, Investigation Discovery, Oprah, and Science all on a basic tier, and Family as well, too, a Discovery Family as well, too. But American Heroes and Destination America, Fit and Health, Velocity, those channels are on one tier right up above for all intents and purposes. I mean, there's the expanded, you know, there's so many different types of tiers, but you don't have to go up all that much to get it, nowhere near to the level that you what you would have had to do to go ahead and get it. And I just want to throw out there, too, you know, that the other disappointing part about this is I'm not saying it was going to happen. I'm not even saying it could happen. But there, you know, that slight sliver of opportunity for this thing to have actually had a good jump start and look good enough where it could end up on TLC or the Discovery Channel. You know, I guess really it would be TLC, you know, way late at night or something like that for some sort of opportunity there with some synergy. Looking the way it does and coming across the way it does, there's no way that's going to happen.
I believe the tier was actually called the Destination America tier here on Frontier because there was nothing else.
I was going to say, is that's the flagship of that tier?
Well, I don't know because I don't watch television. I don't know what's on any of these channels, but I know that Bix had texted me and he said, don't you get like HBO and Showtime if you sign up for this tier? Because I guess, I don't know if it's I don't know what it would be. I guess I have Frontier. Oh, Verizon. He said on Verizon, if you get the tier with Destination America, you also get HBO and Showtime. And that's not the case with Frontier Files. I actually was on a chat with a guy trying to sign up for Destination America, and he said it'll be an extra $22. And I was like, $22? And literally the exact words were, but look at all the other channels you'll get. And I took a look at all of the other channels, and in fact, not one single solitary channel I would have any interest in whatsoever. No HBO, no Showtime, just a bunch of channels I'd never heard of. So we'll see if I end up getting the tier. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, you'll figure out who this is later. I really can't say, but I just wanted to clean up one thing. My little sister just called in, and she forgot to plug that she's on the WWN show tonight on iPay-Per-View down in Winter Park, Florida. She's so worried about giving Ed some date in San Jose for WrestleMania weekend. But Trina Michaels and the whole WWN crew, I guess, are doing a FIP show with Evolve tonight in Winter Park, ironically the home of NXT and all the great stars down there. Maybe some of those WWN guys will be looking for a new apartment to head to NXT later in the year.
Hey, mystery caller, we got to go to a break, but stay on the line and we'll finish up your plug for Trina Michaels when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Elver is here, Wrestling Observer Live, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of Wrestling Observer Live. Also, the brother of Trina Michaels is here on the show to help finish her plug that she forgot when she called in earlier. You may proceed with tonight's plug.
Yeah, it's WWN Live. I'm so sorry. I don't even know their website. I just click on my bookmarks and it goes there.
WWNLive.com. It's very easy.
There you go. That's very simple. They have a great show there. Ricochet, the former Drew McIntyre. I think Roderick Strong is there. My boy Uha. So many great people. Of course, Trina's there. I heard she got super kicked twice in the mouth last night. Nothing new for her. But yeah, so everyone check that out. It's in Winter Park. I've heard there's a lot of great other shows that happen in that town often. So, you know, everyone go do it. I'm sure Ed will. I think there's even a women's match, so I'm sure Ed's going to check that out.
Oh, man, he's all over that. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for calling in today and doing a proper plug for tonight's event. WWNLive.com, everybody. And, of course, Raw is Monday, and there has been a shakeup, by the way, on the announcing crew. They have moved Booker T permanently to Monday nights, and Jerry Lawler has been moved to SmackDown, which I'm sure is going to solve all of those announcing problems they've been having on the shows. But that kicks off on Monday. Royal Rumble WrestleMania season is here. We'll talk a lot about Raw on the program later this weekend and next week as well. Don't forget, we are here Saturdays at 10 Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I want to thank Mike, all of you listeners and callers, of course, Scott, everybody at Sports Byline USA. We shall talk to you again later on. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.